Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Today is one of those messages we have been digging in, and we've been looking at some tough things in my feelings. We started with anger, then Pastor Sheree talked about lust a couple weeks ago, then we talked about marriage and divorce last week. If you missed any of it, I encourage you to listen. And today we're going to be talking about another challenging thing, but I want to tell you something. When we have the opportunity for challenging things in our lives, we can have one or two responses. One, we can be like, oh, I'm so offended, okay? And here's what happens. When you partner with the spirit of offense, it puts headphones over your ears and closes your eyes to see what Jesus is trying to say to you, okay? And everybody in the world is offended today. Oh, I'm so offended. I'm so offended by this, so offended by that. I want to tell you something. Offense, if you dig deeper, there's a reason why you're offended, okay? Is it because maybe there's some hurt behind that? Is it because you're like, man, I'm too prideful? Like, what is the reason? And ask God to show that to you, because I think God has so much more for us, and we can't partner with offense. Jesus came along, and really, he was talking to two groups of people in this Sermon on the Mount. He was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were offended all the time and closed themselves off to God. And that this was the beginning of what caused a lot of hatred in the Pharisees toward Jesus. Because he came along and he said, okay, I have a different way for you to live, okay? And Jesus never comes along in guilt or shame or condemnation. That's the enemy, okay? So when Jesus comes along, he goes, I've got a better way. Like, here's a better way for you to live. Here's the way God created you to live. Here's a better way of how to do things, okay? And with that, that's one of those things that you, and I don't know about you, but when we line ourselves up with Jesus' way of doing life, that's where we're going to see the most incredible blessings happen, okay? And so, and don't mistake this. This is not like this religious set of rules, because some people look at Jesus and they're like, man, there's just all these rules. That's the Pharisees. That's religion is not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is, Jesus, I want all that you have for me, and I want to line my life up with your life. And of course, we're going to make mistakes. Of course, we're not going to be perfect, and that's where Jesus helps us. But I think that's where we have to get to this point where we say, okay, Jesus, I want the best in my life, and I want to go your way, not my way. Okay, and the Pharisees were always concerned about going their way, right? They were offended. They wanted to have all this religious, like, pomp and circumstance. And Jesus comes along and changes it all, okay? And I think it's so interesting what Jesus chooses to talk about in his first sermon, okay? It's things that maybe all of us wouldn't think of, but the things that Jesus talks about in his first sermon are super important. And he just lays it out for us, all right? And like I've always said, when you see red words in the Bible, super important to pay attention to those red words, because whose words are those? Those are Jesus's. And so when we're digging in, we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to go to Matthew 5, 33 through 37. One thing about Hope City is we're not afraid to teach you the truth, all right? The truth is very important, and when you get to this portion of Scripture, there's some good truth. And today's message is called Pinky Promises. Anybody ever make those pinky promises? And you make a pinky promise and you have your fingers crossed in your back because you never have any idea. You're not going to fulfill those, right? It's like, I'm going to make a pinky promise and get them off my back, all right? So this morning, we're continuing in our message series called In My Feelings. We live in a world where people allow their feelings to dictate reality, okay? Feelings becomes people's reality even when those feelings are wrong. Feelings, if left unchecked, can cause a lot of damage and pain in our own lives and the lives of people around us. And I'm not saying you don't deal with these feelings, okay? Because the feelings have to be dealt with. But what we're talking about is dealing with your feelings in an emotionally healthy way according to Scripture. Dealing with the things that Jesus is talking about here and really digging down. You can't ignore them and you can't just push them down and hope they go away. But we've been in Matthew 5 this spring where Jesus really did talk about some heavy topics and some things that we need to pay attention to. This sermon literally turned the world upside down, okay? The people that heard this sermon, it turned their world upside down. Many of them, this would be the very first time they've heard any of this stuff, okay? They knew the law, they knew the Torah, they knew all of that stuff, but when Jesus came along, he blew their mind. For some of you, this is the first time you're hearing this, okay? And that's what I love, that Jesus comes along and goes, hey, there's a better way. Not to condemn you, not to bring you down, but to say, I want to lift you up if you'll follow my way, okay? The Sermon on the Mount was clear. Jesus was very clear about the things that bring destruction into our lives and the importance of submitting our feelings to him so that he can correctly guide us. to point out any feeling that's contrary to his word, to really dig in and go, okay, these emotions, they need to change. And again, we deal with these in a healthy way. We look at these and we say, okay, God, what is the most healthy way? And so today we're going to dig in to a very important topic, and what it really boils down to is making sure your actions line up with your words, okay? And I want to read the scripture to you, okay? And it's in Matthew 5, 33, 37. Take your phones out. You can follow along. Check in here at Hope City. Let people know you're here today. But here's what it said, and this is from the NLT. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out your vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say, by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And don't say, by earth, because the earth is his footstool. And don't say, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Don't even say, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. I'm sorry for the people that have the gray hair, but, man, like, people pay lots of money for that, so don't worry about it. The white hair, okay? Just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond that is from the evil one, okay? So what does this mean? What is this topic? And I think the message really covers it well. I'm going to read this again from the message, Matthew 5:33 through 37, okay? This puts it, and the message is a paraphrase by Eugene Thompson of the scripture, but I think it gives us such a great perspective. It says this, and don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our tradition. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk saying, I will pray for you and never doing it, or saying, God be with you and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. So say yes and no. When you manipulate your words to get your own way, you go wrong. Woo! It got quiet in here. Everybody's like, whoa. That explains it well. And the message, the heading of the message is empty promises. Making promises that you never, ever are going to fulfill. And God is serious about the promises. He's serious about the vows that we make to him. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees in this portion of scripture, and this is what he was saying, because the Pharisees love to walk around all pious, all religious, making promises they never, ever fulfilled, making other people feel less than. And Jesus was calling them out. Jesus was calling them out. He was taking on the Pharisees who would make lofty vows with no intention they would ever follow through. Jesus was calling out people who were being dishonest and trying to pull the wool over other people's eyes by making these vows. Jesus is calling us to always stand for truth and be honest in all of our dealings. He's calling us to live with integrity. That's what he's calling us to do here. We live in a world where the truth is relative. Like, the truth is, people look at the truth and it is all relative. People are willing to even tell little white lies. Friends, a white lie is a lie. There's no such thing as a better or a worse. Well, I'm just going to tell a little white lie. It's okay, right? A lie is a lie. And that's what Jesus is calling out. It doesn't matter how big or small. You can justify it by calling it a white lie, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still a lie. We have to stand for truth in all of our dealings with other people. We have to deal with them honestly. Don't make promises that you don't intend to keep, even pinky promises. Ecclesiastes 5, 3 through 7 tells us this. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. And if you've been around here for a little while, there's some things I say all the time. One of them is delayed obedience is disobedience. If God tells you to do something and you sit around and you go, okay, I have five reasons why I need to like figure this out and spend it. No, if God tells you to do something, do it right away. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Don't let your mouth make you sin. This little thing right here gets us in a lot of trouble, right? This little area of our body can get us in so much trouble. Well, I just speak my mind. I just have to tell people what I think, okay? That's scripture saying, no, maybe back up from that. This little tongue is the rudder to our life. The Bible says it gets us in a lot of trouble, this thing right here, okay? And Jesus is backing that up. Don't let your mouth make you sin, and don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That would make God angry, and he might wipe out everything you have achieved. I think sometimes we think of God not ever getting angry. But the reality of it is, in Scripture, you read multiple times where God got a little ticked off at his people. Okay? New Testament, if you want to hear a story of that, look up Ananias and Sapphira for an interesting read, where these two people lied to the Holy Spirit and God took them out. Okay? I'm not saying God's going to take you out, but I'm saying, like, this is a key point. Even though it's Old Testament, we have to hold on to it today. Here it is. So let me go back. And don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That would make God angry, and he might wipe out everything you have achieved. Talk is cheap, like daydreams and other useless activities. Fear God instead. When you see that fear God instead, it's not talking about fear like I'm so afraid of God, but it's awe and reverence. Like I am in awe of God. Like I want to do what he's asking me to do. I'm in awe of what he speaks to me. Okay, so I want to share three points that really stick out to me. First of all, point number one, words are powerful. What comes out of your mouth? Listen to what Proverbs 18:21 says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I cannot stress this point enough. What is coming out of your mouth is powerful. Some of you, you're speaking death over your situation every time you open your mouth. You speak death. Well, I just have the gift of criticism. That is not a spiritual gift, okay? Well, I'm just super negative. I'm just a half cup. No, ask God to change that around because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Like, I cannot stress it enough. What comes out of your mouth is going to dictate what happens in your life. God built it that way. He hardwired this into the universe, okay? It's one of the most important truths of Scripture that we throw by the wayside. We live in a world where words don't matter. Well, I have a right to say whatever I want to say. You might have a right, but it's bringing death into your life. Like, I can't even begin to be, like, this is, like, you look at your checkbook. Oh, we're not going to have enough money. Oh, man, we're not going to be able to pay the bills this month. You are literally speaking what's going to happen into existence. How about we look at it and go, God, thank you for what you've given me. Lord, thank you. And listen, I've had to learn this lesson too. Paula will attest, all right? So I've had to learn this lesson. I'm still learning this lesson, okay? Or, man, my job is just terrible. It's never, no, turn that around. Anything that is death over your life, start speaking life. The power of life and death is in the tongue. From the beginning in Genesis, God hardwired the power of our words into creation. When he, Genesis in the very beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth, what did he do? Did he get all worried and have to work it out? And no, he spoke it into existence. Many times in the New Testament, when you see God heal or calm storms, speaks it out. It speaks it out into existence, okay? And that's what we have to do in our lives. Jesus reaffirmed this portion of Scripture that our words are powerful. They can either build you up or tear you down, encourage or discourage, bring life or death. When you walk out of this place today, my challenge is you this week, find ways to encourage with your words, not tear down. Find ways to speak life over your situation. I don't care what you're facing. You might go, well, that's just reality. Reality is you are speaking death over your situation, and it's going to continue. And here's what happens. The enemy does not know what you're thinking until you speak it out. So you are giving the enemy ammo to keep attacking you, because what he'll do is he'll say, man, I'm going to attack here. And then he listens for the words that we say, right? The Bible says the enemy cannot read our mind until we speak it out. So we're literally like, oh, man, I just feel so under attack, and this is just getting me. And the enemy goes, good, I've got him. I'm going to keep attacking in that same way. And that's why when the enemy attacks and it goes from bad to worse, figure out what's coming out of your mouth. The power of life and death is in your tongue. When you allow words to spew, don't give the enemy ammo by speaking death. Okay? Just like every thought we have to take captive, I want to challenge you. Write that down. Every word captive. You can't afford for one word to slip out that's not of him. Every. Will you say it with me? Every. Oh, come on. Every. If you walk away with nothing else today, every word captive. Every word. Make sure every word is bringing you life. You can't afford for one to slip out. Every word brings life or death. Every word. Words are powerful. Don't forget, and you're not alone in this task, okay? And here's how you speak life. When you're in a situation, let's say it's your finances. You're walking through a difficult financial situation. Take every scripture in the Bible about your finances, write it down, print it out, and that's what you begin to pray. Lord, I'm so thankful that you tell me I don't have to worry about tomorrow because you've got that in your hands. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're going to provide when I'm obedient. Your word says, when I step out and give, Lord, the windows of heaven is going to open on my situation. Whatever your situation is, that's what you start speaking. That's how we speak life over our situation. Amen? And remember, you're not alone in this task. The Holy Spirit will guide you and empower you to speak truthfully and in love. This is heavy stuff, but it is life-changing. Point number two, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Your talk has to match your actions. Okay, Matthew 5:35 says this, you only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk saying, I'll pray for you, and you never do it. Or saying, God be with you, and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. Woo! So, about 6 years ago, I was at Costco, and I was on a mission. I think it was to get donuts and Oreos, all right? I'm not going to lie. They have good donuts sometimes, all right? And y'all know I love sweets, so that's where I was headed, all right? But a lady, and this was about 6 years ago, a lady who was a waitress in town, like, stopped me, and she said, hey, Pastor Jason. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? She goes, I have a migraine. I've had one for 2 weeks. I mean, she was suffering, right? And I said, oh, I'll pray for you, and I headed off to the cookies and the donuts, right? And when I got over there, the Lord said, you're not going to pray for her. Why did you tell her that? And, like, I thought, well, probably because I just wanted to get her out of my way. And, like, yeah, I mean, let's be honest, right? Right? Like, oh, well, I'll pray for you. And God said, if you said it, you better get back over there and pray for her. And it was at that moment that I said, okay, God, I'm never going to say that again. And this isn't what Jesus is dealing with necessarily, but it's this kind of an example of when we say we're going to do something, we got to do it. It's not just to get people out of the way or God be with you. I mean, like, you don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. So what we see is Jesus reminds us that talk is cheap. You must put action behind your words. Ecclesiastes 5:7 says this, reminds us, talk is cheap, like daydreams and other useless activities. Fear God instead. And when we're talking about fearing God again, we're talking about in awe, right? In reverence. Again, we see that as we read Ecclesiastes. Like, God, I want what's best for you, okay? Jesus called us to a high standard of integrity and honesty. And remember, integrity is what you do when no one's watching. That's integrity. The Pharisees all looked good when everybody was watching, but then the Bible comes along and says they're whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but empty on the inside, right? There's some of you in this room, you're people pleasers, and you'll say, oh, yeah, I'll do this for you with no intention of ever doing it. Okay? If you're a people pleaser that does that, ask God to heal you from people pleasing. There's a reason why you're a people pleaser, right? And I think it's digging in and saying, okay, God, heal me from that so that let my yes be yes and my no be no. Jesus is calling us to be people of our word, to speak truth and love and honor God with our words and actions. This means that we must take our commitments seriously, that we must be careful with our words, and that we strive to live a life that is consistent with what we say we believe. And Jesus, what he's really doing in these moments is calling out hypocrisy. What's one of the biggest things the world has against the church today? And you hear him say it, like, oh, it's just full of hypocrites, which I don't believe that. But I think if you are a believer, when you go out to work Monday through Friday, you got to honor your word. You got to live with integrity, okay? Even if your business is not, if you own a business, man, be people of integrity because that changes the ball game, okay? Let God use you in that way. We don't want to be hypocrites, and we become hypocrites when our actions don't match our words. Don't make a promise that you never intend to keep, especially, like I said, if you're a people pleaser. We keep all of our promises. We keep what we say. And the Lord said, listen, don't even make a vow. Just say yes or no, okay? Just say yes or no. That's what he's saying in the scripture. Point number three, don't manipulate God with your words, or don't manipulate people with your words. Matthew 5:37, just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. I'm sure nobody does that in here, right? That's probably the people that were in first service. Jesus called out the Pharisees. He's saying, listen, you love to manipulate people by your words. Some people are very verbal, and they can manipulate well. They focus on manipulating people with their words in a spiritual way. With manipulation normally comes a desire to control the outcome. Some people will say whatever is necessary to get the outcome they want. In every arena of our life, we have to stand against this, even in the business world. If your boss asks you to do something that's not full of integrity, walk away and say, I'm not going to do it. If they ask you to lie, stand up and say, I'm not going to do it. There'll be a blessing that comes. The ends never justify the means. And that's what the world tells us. Oh, the ends will justify the means. Whatever it takes to get to the means. If you want God's hand on your business, operate with truth and integrity. Your business, your career, whatever you put your hands to. Remember, words have power. Manipulation is one of the most powerful things that can result in your words. We can even try to manipulate God, and here's how we do it. God, if you get me out of this situation, I promise I'll serve you with all my heart. Like, just get me out this time, God. Everybody has done it, probably. Like, come on, right? And what we're saying at that point is, God, if you do this, then I'm going to do this, and you have no intention of ever doing it. A better way is this. God's already made a way out for you. If you align yourself with his principles and his promises, he's made a way out for you. You don't have to try to manipulate God, saying, God, if you do this, I'm going to do that. It's God, take a look at my heart. I repent for things that are not of you. And God, I follow your promises, and we're going to walk out of this together. You don't have to manipulate God. He's already made a way. And here's the problem. When you're trying to say, God, if you do this, then I'll do that, your heart doesn't change in that process. And what God is looking for is a heart change, not just words. He's going to get you out. He's going to help you out. But you don't have to try to manipulate him to do that. If you've prayed that prayer before, it's a vow. And I want you to go back and think about those times and make sure that you followed through on that vow. I hope that you're doing whatever you ask God that you said you would do. Manipulation is rough, though. Instead of praying that emergency prayer, get connected to him. Out of God's abundance and his grace and his love, he may pull you out of the situation you're facing. But don't, I mean, like, I wouldn't be like, I'm going to try this every time. Like, every time I get in trouble, oh, God, if you do this, then I'm going to do that. Okay? Because Ecclesiastes 5:6 tells us, don't let your mouth make you sin. And don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That would make God angry, and he might wipe out everything you have achieved. Interesting. Talk about the power of your words. That scripture should stop us in our tracks. Let that sink in. He might wipe out everything you have achieved. Well, God wouldn't do that. It's not what scripture says. And what Jesus, oh boy, it's quiet. Woo! It's getting hot. I'm just kidding. Okay. Think about that just for a minute. And I've seen this play out in people's lives. People who've made that promise, they haven't followed through, and everything comes crashing down. I've seen it played out, and I've seen it played out over and over and over and over again. And simply, what we have to do is, God, I say yes to you. Change my heart. I repent, and I want to go your way. God's already made a way out. You don't have to make a vow you can't keep. Align your heart with God's promises. And God is already making a way out of these situations for you. Looking at the importance of our actions. When we say, God, I make a promise to you, follow through on that promise. Making sure your actions match up to your words. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't be like the Pharisees who make all of these pious religious statements and then never have any intention on following through. This is challenging stuff. But I want to tell you something. It is life-changing. It's life-changing. When we live and we realize the power of our words, we realize like we're walking in what we speak out over our lives. And when we make a promise, we got to keep it.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.